going home.
All right. Sorry. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Now listen, church family. Last morning you were a little stiff this morning. So tonight, no stiffness. So shake it off. Everyone shake your hand. Shake your hand like this. All right. All right. Do both hands. We're having a Pentecostal service. All right. All right. Goodness gracious. Hey, listen, believe it or not, part of preaching is you, all right? Part of it is the pastor making sure he's right with the Lord and he's got the message from God. But the other part is you making sure that, number one, you're right with God. Number two is responding, all right? Now, this morning, I want to show you what you look like when you were responding. I don't have the virus. You'll be okay, all righty? So, everyone breathe in. Breathe out. Now, see, that breath went farther than 6 feet. Now, what are you doing? Don't do that. All righty? Don't do that. All right? We can't do that. All right? So, all right. Luke chapter number 9. We're going to look at this together. Luke chapter 9. Look it down to verse number 57 in your Bible there, toward the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. The Bible says this. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, Jesus with his disciples, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Pretty bold statement. Verse 58, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, third fellow, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Look at just a couple of verses and we'll pray here. But church, look at your Bible, verse 57. I want you to notice the guy's statement in 57. He said, I will follow thee. Now, verse 57, 58 go together. This is the first fella. Comes to Jesus, says, I'll follow thee. I'll follow. In fact, he says, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus answers this fella. We get the impression that he doesn't follow Christ. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. So the second guy did not say, I will follow thee, but Jesus himself said to him, follow me. And of course, he had an excuse and a response there. And Jesus, of course, responds. Verse 59 and 60 is the second fellow. Then verse 61 and 62 is the third fellow. And this guy here actually says the same thing as the first one. Another said, verse 61, another said, also said, Lord, I will follow thee. And of course, Jesus' response to all three of these was an answer to why they could not follow him. Someone preached a message tonight on that thought. Why I cannot follow Christ. Why I cannot follow Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we again ask for your blessing and your help tonight. Give us the words to say. Would you give liberty and the power of the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord, for this day, this hour, this place, these people. Lord, again, please put your hand on this service. We love you and we give you the honor and glory, Lord, for all that's said and done tonight. And what's said and done, Lord, in the days ahead. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you're God. Now, Father, help us. Help our nation. Help our country. Lord, help them to see you through all of this. And Lord, may people be saved because of it. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's interesting in these three fellas that all of them had to do with following Christ. And by the way, church family, that's what we should do. All of us should be followers of Christ. Do you know what the word Christian means? It means follower of Christ. When we use the word Christian, that's exactly what it means. A Christian means a follower of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow Christ in every area of our life. You're in church tonight. Why? Because you follow Christ. You had your devotions this morning. Why? Because you follow Christ. You pass out gospel tracts. You tell people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're a follower of Christ. It's different than the word disciple. Disciple means learner or pupil. It's the idea of being a student of Christ. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about being a follower of Christ. And church family, you cannot be a follower if you're the one in front. Followers are the ones that are in back and they're following someone or something. And so Jesus is talking to these three fellas, and all three of them, I believe that Jesus' response tells us what causes a person not to follow Christ. In other words, when Jesus, these guys came to Jesus and said, listen, I want to follow you. And then Jesus responded. Jesus' response was why people don't follow Christ. Now, can I tell you, it's easy to say I want to follow Christ, but it's not so easy to follow Christ. And I get that from the story here because this guy, the first guy, was so adamant when he said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, just the idea of whithersoever, he's trying to say, I don't care where you go. I don't care. And by the way, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And if they truly thought Jesus was the Messiah, they did not know what we know. We've got the entire New Testament, Old Testament too, but we know that Jesus Christ came the first time and that he would ascend up and sit on the right hand of the Father until he comes for us the second time. They did not know that. They thought Christ was going to set his kingdom up then and there. So you can see this fellow, I'll follow you, Christ. I'll follow you because you're going to be the next king. You're going to be the one that's going to relieve this Roman oppression and allow the Jews to be the one in charge, and you're the Messiah, the anointed one, and take. But you know what? That's not what Jesus had planned. So you can imagine when he said, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest, he thought he was on the way to the kingdom. All right? But it was not the case. Now, Jesus' response tonight, I want to look at these three responses of Christ tonight on why I cannot follow Christ. All right? And by the way, it's not just for these three fellows. What Jesus was making a statement was for all Christianity. It was for every Christian who said, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. So let's look at tonight, these three quickly. Here's the first one. I want you to notice verse 57 and 58. He says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus, now first answer, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, I want you to think about Jesus' answer to the statement, I'll follow you. And here's what Jesus did not say, good, get in line. Jesus did not tell this fella, boy, I appreciate that. I'm glad you're going to... That's not what Jesus said. Jesus' response to his statement was the very reason he didn't follow Christ. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. When you think about a person as far as where you lay your head, it's home. It's your house. It's the place that you, the comforts of home. It's where you abide. Jesus was trying to tell this fellow, if you're going to follow me, I just want you to understand something. I have no house. I have no place of comfort. I have no place that's going to cause us to be able to lay our head tonight. We might be under the stars tonight. Are you willing to do that? That's what he's telling. Are you willing to follow me when we're not going to have what everybody else has? Everybody else gets to go home tonight. We don't have a home to go to tonight because the foxes have a home. The birds have a home. I don't have a home. Are you willing to follow me? So what was Jesus trying to tell this man? I'll tell you what he's trying to tell him. He was trying to tell him, if you're going to be a follower of me, it's not a very comfortable life. It's not going to be that of one of ease. And I want to tell you, that's why a lot of people cannot follow Christ. And the answer to this fellow of why he wasn't going to, it's not comfortable. This is not going to be easy for me to do. Now, can I tell you, we as believers, we have, and we have, and we have, and we can talk about all the things that we have. But Jesus, in the statement in verse number 59 there, sorry, verse 58, he says, the Son of Man hath not. Hey, would you really serve God if you didn't have something? You know, church family, I believe that this virus has been a test about several things in the Christian life. I'm talking about several things. Your schedule has been turned upside down. The average person in here, your schedule has. Now, some of you, maybe your work has continued on the same. But there's a bulk of you in here, your life's turned upside down. You've got less hours at work. You've got less things going on at work. In some cases, you don't even have work. You know, I think that this virus, to a great degree, has been a test in the Christian life in several areas of our life. Right? So here you were going to work and you were on a schedule. You had to get up at a certain time, go to bed at a certain time because you had to make sure that you had gotten some things done. Now maybe you have a little more free time. What are you doing with it? There was a day that we could knock on any door and say, hey, listen, I'd like to give you an invite to church. And more important than that, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I think it's a test on whether or not we're really still going to tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
I think there's several tests involved here. And you know, we as Americans, we have enjoyed the comfort. The president has signed the stimulus tax, and to be honest with you, I've not been keeping up with everything that's going on as far as the stimulus tax and all that kind of stuff. But just going to tell you something. If you get a stimulus check, you ought to tithe on that. And we'll tell you why. It's called income. All right? Income. You know what? That's a test. Well, Pastor, I don't have a job, and you know, the president knew that. I think God knew something before the president ever knew about it. You know, everything in our life is about tests, and we're going through some major tests in our life right now. I'm talking about us as Christians we are. And can I tell you something? The Christian life is not always comfortable. Because if you're going to follow Christ, it's not going to be one that's easy. And so Jesus' response to this fellow says, oh, I'm going to go wherever you want. Hey, talk sheep. So Jesus just told him, he said, listen, I don't even have a place to stay tonight. You better reevaluate what you're thinking. Colossians 3:2 says, set not your affections on things above, I'm sorry, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Paul talked about in Philippians 4 about that he had learned that in whatsoever state he was, that therewith to be content. Church family, have we forgot about the Bible? Have we forgot about history? Can you understand that the followers of Christ, their followership meant death? Jesus Christ ended up on a cross. The early Christians were boiled in oil. They were put into a coliseum and they took animal skins and wrapped them around them and then put them in the middle of all the wild animals so that they could be eaten in front of people. Female Christians were put on a pole with a post that went through their body and they would be hung in a pole where they would wax their hair and light their hair so they could light the gardens of the Roman emperors. People who preached Jesus Christ, they would take those preachers and they would cut their tongue out so they could not speak. I'm just trying to say that we live a very comfortable Christian life, and to be a follower of Christ is not just a matter, I'm a Christian. No, it's more than that. It's called a life of uncomfortableness. Hey, God's been very good to us to be able to grow up in the United States of America. Hey, did you understand that what's going on with this virus right now? I just got on the phone with Ben yesterday over in Uganda. And in Uganda, if they leave their house and they don't have a legit reason for being gone, the police officers are walking the street with sticks. And if they find you, they can beat you legally. Hey, I know it's rough around here. I know things aren't as comfortable as they can be right in the United States of America, but I'm glad I'm in the United States of America. I talked to David a couple days ago, and he's in Panama. And they've got a shutdown order there, and a person is only allowed to leave their house for 2 hours during the day. And the reason, the way they police that is by your social security number, the Panamanian police social security number. If they, you can't get inside the grocery store unless you are within your letter of the alphabet for that prefix of your social security number, and you have 2 hours to be out. And if you're pulled over by the police and you do not have that 2 hour window of when you're supposed to be out, you can be fined or arrested. Just in the United States of America is a great place to live, and we as Christians have not suffered for Christ. I was told the other day of a lady that put up on the social media that it was really rough right now in the United States because she does not have creamer for her coffee, that she has to use milk. She's suffering for Christ. Hey, you know, what did Jesus say? He said, this is not our rest. What we're going to go through right now, you are going to be laughed and you're going to be scorned because you're a Christian and you're a believer in Christ. It's going to happen. You know why? Because the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has a very uncomfortable life. And if you're going to follow Christ, that's the kind of life you're going to have to live. Church, I mean, there's a bunch of non-denominational junk out there that want to say they're born again and live like the world, act like the world, and say they're a follower of Christ, but they're as comfortable as can be because they're just like the world. That's not a follower of Christ. So Jesus tells this first guy, okay, you want to follow me? It's going to be uncomfortable. I want you to see something else here. Now, look at the next guy. Verse 57 and 58, you find the first fella about following. The second guy, verse 59 and 60. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, church family, upon the first look of that verse, you think to yourself, now, you know, Jesus' response to this guy is kind of tough. Because look what Jesus says to this fella. He says in verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All right. Now, Scripture always interprets Scripture. Okay. To me, there's several things here. The first thing is this: is that God said in the Ten Commandments, "Honor thy father and mother." This guy said, "Hey, I need to go bury my dad." Now, church, let me think for a second here. If his dad had just died, he would not be there talking to Jesus right now. His father was not dead. Now, I don't know if his father was ill. I don't know if he was trying to say, my dad's up in years. But when he passes away, then I'm going to follow you. And by the way, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. The principle of that was, is not somebody, a physically dead person cannot bury a physically dead person. If that happens, you better get out of there. What he's saying is, a spiritually dead person can bury a physically dead person. Let the dead bury their dead. And again, the proverb that talks about that, it's interesting because the Bible talks about the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 21:16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Hey, church family, what he's trying to say is the person who's not spiritual, the person who's not going to serve Christ, the person who's not going to follow Christ, the person who's not going to live for Christ, let them take care of that. If you're going to follow me, then follow me. Now, here's the principle I want you to see tonight. The first principle that we see in this story is this, is that why I cannot serve Christ, because it's not comfortable. The second principle of why a person says I cannot serve Christ is I don't have time. I need to take care of something else first. This is not a good time for me to follow Christ because I've got this to take care of and this to take care of and this to take care of. Now, I know in this passage the excuse was, hey, let me bury my father first. But it wasn't a matter that his father was dead. In the Jewish times, when a person died, usually about the first 24 hours, that person would already be in the grave. If his father had just died, he would have had too much to take care of to be able to get his father buried. It wasn't a matter that his father had died. It was a matter of, hey, listen, my dad's still living. You know, I'd like to follow you, but suffer me first to take care of my dad, get him buried, and then I'll come. Hey, by the way, Christians do that all the time. I'll serve Christ when my kids get out of diapers. I'll serve Christ when my kids get out of elementary school. I'll serve Christ when they get out of high school. I'll serve Christ when they're out of college. I will serve Christ when I retire. You know, the problem about delaying is it never happens. Never happens. Good intentions for later do not make up for disobedience now. We in our Christian life should not be making excuses about saying, I will, when. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, I want to tell you why you're not going to be a follower of Christ, is when you get these ideas, I've got to do something else first. Or I've got to wait until this takes place first. Church, we're Christians. What does a Christian mean? It means follower of Christ. I'm supposed to follow Christ now. I'm not supposed to wait until I get a better job. I'm not supposed to wait until my children are raised. I'm not supposed to wait for something in my life to change. I'm supposed to be a follower of Christ. Well, I got to wait until my husband gets on board or my wife gets on board, or I've got to wait until, you know, my kids get out of these terrible twos. No, you're a follower of Christ now. Now is the best time because you might not have time later. So when Jesus is talking to these three fellas, Jesus tells us specifically why people do not follow him. So when he says, first of all, the reason people don't follow me is because the foxes have holes, the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man hath not nowhere to lay his head. This is not going to be very comfortable, and it's not going to be very interesting, and it's not going to be very in the sense of helpful to you as far as financially. But you know what? You ought to follow me anyway. He says, now listen, I know that your father's still living. I know that he's going to die. But there are people to take care of that. And he was not telling him not to honor his father. He's just simply saying, if it's your father this time, it's going to be something else next time. So, yeah, I can't serve Christ because there's never a good time. Look what he says last. It's kind of interesting. Verse number 61. They almost overlap, but they don't. Verse 61 and another said, verse 61, 62, and another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this guy's interesting, okay? Because here's what he was saying. He was saying, hey, let me go home and see what family says. You know, they might give me a farewell party. I'm going to follow you, but I need to go home to my house. Very clear that it's family related, because he says, at home, at my house. He says, listen, I'll be glad to follow you, but I need to go home first. Now, isn't it interesting, the me first syndrome or attitude is mentioned twice in this in these two, few verses. Verse 59, the guy said, suffer me first. And verse number 61, but let me first. That's pretty selfish, isn't it? Korah had that attitude of me first, and Diotrephes had that attitude of me first, and Lot had that attitude of me first, and Eve had that attitude of me first, and Samson had that attitude of me first, and Achan had that attitude of me first, and Ananias and Sapphira had that attitude of me first. Hey, me first never ends very well. He said, let me go home and let me just make sure it's okay with mom and dad for me to follow you. Hey, mom and dad, you know, God gave all of our children a free will. We raise them up. When they're children, they do what we say as they go through those years that we're their protector, we're their discipline, we're their director, we're their counselor, we're their ever everything to them. They get to that age where they're going to one day leave home. The Bible doesn't tell us what that magic age is. That day might be one day that they go off to college. And sometimes it's that they're still at home, you know, when they're going to college. Sometimes that day is when they get married. And our window of opportunity is while they're in our house. That window of opportunity is when they're at home. And by the way, I still believe with all my heart that if they're living in your house, they ought to obey you. If you're 25 and you're living at home, you ought to do what mom and dad says. It's their home. All right? You think you know better than mom and dad? Go pay your own rent. Go buy your own car, pay your own insurance, buy your own food, buy your own clothes. Oh, I can do that. Good, go. But if you're inside that house, you ought to obey mom and dad. But our kids are going to come to a place in life that they're going to decide whether they're going to serve God or not. And you as parents, don't be the downfall for their life. You ought to encourage them. It's not God's will for every one of our kids to be in full-time Christian service or to be pastors and missionaries. Hey, by the way, Ethan's leaving Tuesday, right? And so he goes off for boot camp. You won't see him ever again, so say hi to him. But, you know, I just was feeling this morning how it's going to be. And, you know, it's not easy seeing your kids leave. I don't care what we say. We can tease all we want. It's difficult when you see your kids leave. Most of them. But, you know, the thing about Ethan is that, you know, he's at a place in his life that he's been taught what's right or wrong, and now he's going to have to decide. And it's flesh and spirit. Whichever one he feeds the most, the one's going to have control of his life. And now he's going to go off, and he's going to be in boot camp with a bunch of people. You know, of course, our fear about the military is that one thing. You know, you get a bunch of lost guys together of the same age, and you have that peer pressure. Will a person be the light and salt they're supposed to be, or will they just fold? I mean, you pray for him while he's gone. Keep him in your prayers if you can move him up to the top of the list to be helpful. You know, Mrs. Seaton has done everything she can now. He's at an age he's going to leave house. That's our goal as parents, is that when they get to that they have a relationship with God, they have a love for God, that they would do what's right. And they'll never be perfect, they're never going to make all the right decisions, and neither do you or I. But we should be trying to encourage our family to serve God. But can I tell you something, young people? It's really not whether or not your mom and dad encourage you to serve God or not. It's whether or not you're going to serve God or not. You know, isn't it amazing that we want to so much blame the parents, the Christian school, the church that they went to? Well, you know, that the reason they act like that is because, you know, the church had such strong standards, or, you know, the reason they act like that is because the school, you know, they didn't have very good discipline. The reason they did that is because the mom and dad. You know, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, there's choices that we make. And tonight, I guess when I talk about this thing about following Christ in this last one, it doesn't matter what family says. What our loyalty to Christ must supersede our loyalty to family. When he said at home and at my house, can we not remember Luke 14:26? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul said, you know, when I surrendered to follow Christ, in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, he said, I immediately went to God. He says, I did not confer with flesh and blood. In other words, I wonder what everybody thinks about this. You know, I like it when people come to get counsel. But church, I mean, God gave you a Holy Spirit. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Find out what God wants you to do and go that direction. You don't have to go a direction just because somebody's encouraging you to do it. You go the direction because this is the direction God wants me to go. In the first guy, he said, I'll follow you whithersoever. The third guy, he said, I'll follow thee. But the second guy, God said, this is not a request, it's a command. He said, follow me. Sister, can I tell you that we as Christians, God gives us the opportunity to make the decision, but this is not a request. It's a command. Follow Christ. It's interesting, in verse 59, the word go is mentioned. In verse 61, the word go is mentioned. In verse number 60, the word go is mentioned. The first man said, I must go and bury my father. The second man said, I must go and bid them farewell. But the second one, Jesus said, go thou and preach. You know, when it comes to following Christ, it is about going. It's about doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. I want you to look at verse 62, and I want you to read it out loud with me, because this is really the climax of what Jesus is trying to teach out of verse 57 through 62. Verse 62, let's read it together. Ready? And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, there's always going to be things to distract you, to cause you to look back. But every once in a while, you've got to get your focus right back to where it's supposed to be. What's it supposed to be? It's supposed to be on Christ. What is God's will for your life? How do we find out God's will? Well, we find it out through His Word. We find it out through the Spirit of God. God's Word gives us as far as what His will. Obviously, God tells us His perfect will. I'm sorry, He tells us His general will through the Word of God. God's perfect will is usually led by the Holy Spirit of God. Things that are not spelled out in Scripture. But God's permissive will is when we don't do exactly what we know we're supposed to do. And God says, okay, I'll let you do that. That's God's permissive will. But that's not always God's perfect will. Right. It was God's permissive will for David to number the people. But that was not God's perfect will for David to number the people. Church, can I tell you, all of us ought to be followers of Christ. But not everybody will be a follower of Christ. Oh, I'll follow Christ. Anybody can say that. You know what caused the person not to follow Christ? I'll tell you what. This is not going to be a very comfortable road. I don't have time right now, but I'm going to do that later. You hear these guys as they all gave their excuse. Jesus simply said, hey, listen, if you're going to put your hand to the plow, don't look back. In other words, if you're going to follow me, stop trying to find out another way to get out of following me. We ought to follow Christ. And all of us ought not to try to make excuses why we can't. We just say, okay, I'm going to follow you. And then, but that's what we should do. Hey, I don't know who will and who won't, but in the very next chapter, 70 disciples went out and they took God's command and they went out and preached the gospel, and God used them in a great way. So obviously there's some people that will. Amen. But there's some that won't. Hey, you can say whatever you want. Following Christ is not always going to be easy. Following Christ is not always going to be on your timetable. And when you think about following Christ sometimes is not always going to be agreeable to family. But you ought to follow Christ anyway. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?